Mr. Lewin in Reel 13. So the battalion concerts and so on, how often did you have these at Rye?
Well, whenever they could get somewhere to put them on. If maybe one of the billets was big enough, they would maybe organise it in there, or if they could get the use of a hall or something somewhere.
And you mentioned the turns. What was Harry Stern's turn? What do you think?
Well, Harry always used to give them a couple of songs, always.
And those would be Cockney.
Oh yeah, they'd be yeah.
And you mentioned Duffy. Who was that?
Yeah, Frank Duffy. I was just trying to think of the name of the song, but he used to whistle it all the time. It was a group, American group, used to sing it, and female group. I can't think of the name of it now.
But Frank Duffy used to sing that.
Yeah, he used to. He was always humming it or whistling it or singing it.
So the concerts, would this be like, it would be like homemade entertainment? It would be from men within the battalion?
Yeah.
You never had any kind of professional showbiz people coming in?
No. It was all off the cuff, you know. That was quite good. He used to have a decent night. They used to organise, this Captain Ponder used to organise some sort of, put a drink maybe I don't know what it was then. I never used to have cans of beer in those days, I don't think. But we used to have small bottles of stuff.
So it was alcoholic that you could drink?
Yeah, I think it was. I think we used to have small cans. Well, there was just some small tins, that's right. Beer, small beer. Pretty weak stuff it was. But he used to organise it as much as really good. Because he was all for it, you know. He really supported it.
Now, after you moved to Rye, you had another change of colonel. Do you remember anything about this new man that came in?
No, I don't know who that would be. Warren?
So the colonels, they'd be with, you wouldn't really pay much attention to who was the
not
colonel?
Not really. No, not
so
really.
So who would be the person that's of authority that you were concerned about?
Well, I'm kind of commander, really.
And did you have any changes over this period?
What, in our company?
Yeah, that we've talked about. You talked about Ollison.
Yeah, Ollison. I was just trying to think who was there before him. It must have been Barrington.
And who was after Ollison?
No, Barrington went before then. No, we had another one before that. Before Ollison. He was a captain. I think his name was Steele. Could be wrong there, but I think his name was Steele. And he was a captain. That was before Ollison.
And who was after Ollison?
I don't know, because I left headquarters company myself. I went before Ollison did. I know where Ollison went. Ollison went to brigade headquarters, 139 brigade headquarters.
And do you think that was when you were at Rye?
It was. He left headquarters company at Rye, Ollison did, but he left after I did.
Now, you were made up a Lance Corporal around about this time.
Yeah, how
did that come about?
Well, that was him. That was his. Ollison did that.
How did you impress him? How did he?
Well, he just said, you see, they were making up. See, that's what I'm saying, what I said earlier about. There was so much happened at Rye. See, what they had to think about was that they knew, I'm talking about the people that matter now, they knew that when we left Rye, it would be only a question of time before we were on a troop ship. So that they only had that amount of time to complete everything. Now that, when I say that, that means they had to make sure, first of all, that the battalion was up to strength, and not only up to strength, but also had a few personnel in reserve, which came, that's how our company came about, right?
What does R stand for, reserve?
Well, in reserve, the R company, they called it, I don't know, they said they called it R company, but it was just a reserve company, that was all. It was just a...
So, and it was reserve in addition to the full rifle company.
So that's right, and the headquarter company. And then, of course, you had what we had, the support company. So if in headquarter company, you had two companies. You had headquarter company and support company.
Which came later.
Which came later, which came at Rye.
So, Ollison made you up to Lance Corporal, and then you were moved to recruit company.
Recruit? No, it wasn't recruit. Oh. It wasn't my name, was it?
Well, our company.
Yeah, our company, yeah.
And what were your responsibilities there?
Well, that was only, that was really only filling in the time. The thing was that prior to that, there was no R company. There wasn't even any troops billeted in that street whatsoever. None at all. So when they came up with that, they knew that when the time came and they had to tell the authorities that the battalion was ready, they could then say that we've got so many, whatever it was, 30, 40 or whatever it was, in this R company, and it's just they were there for to fill in the numbers should you want some recruits for, to go into other companies. They were there to be taken. They were all trained ready, and you could take them when you wanted.
And how many men were in our company?
Well, I give a guess. I wouldn't say there was any more than about 40, if there was that.
And did you have a sergeant major?
Yeah, Glover, Percy Glover. They made Percy Glover back. Percy Glover back again to sergeant major. And took him away from the AFAC platoon. He then came down as sergeant major in the R company. Ponder was the company commander, and there were no more officers, only Ponder and Glover.
Now, at this stage, when you were at Rye, apparently there were drafts of men being sent out to the other battalions abroad at this stage. Do you remember anything about that? And anybody?
Yeah, we lost people from Folkestone. Whilst we were at Folkestone, there were, well, to my knowledge, there were three drafts taken out of the battalion, sent to other units. As reinforcements, that was the word I was looking for before, reinforcement.
Reinforcement company.
Yeah. They were sent to these other battalion, other units as reinforcements. We lost, I think there were three separate lots of small draft, 6, 10, 15, and something like that.
And how did these men feel about being sent abroad?
Well, they were just picked out. I mean.
So it was just look at the draw, really.
Yeah. Well, yes, I'll say yes. I always thought that that would have been the ideal opportunity for the company commander to get rid of anybody, what shall I call them, undesirables. That would have been his. his chance to get rid of them.
And do you think they took the chance?
I think so. I'm not being personal about this, but I can't really say that. I knew that chap I was in billets with at Bedford that I told you about, that Red Scotland, and now he went. He went to Folkestone, and he joined King's Royal Rifles. And I've since asked Charlie Bray, who would know, whether or not Red Scotland was looked upon as an undesirable in D Company. And if he wasn't, why was he picked out to go on this draft? Charlie didn't know the answer to that.
Who would do the pick and who would pick the...
The company commander would do it.
So he would be told that he had to provide so many men?
Yeah. And they would just tell him, I want two NGOs and six men, or six men, or whatever. They'd just tell him, and he would pick them out. And then they would be told, and that was it.
And so you were losing men?
Now we had to touch them in, you see.
Because apparently you were also getting drafts of men coming in from Bransworth at the same time. Right. And how were they handled?
Well, they were okay. We had some from Bransworth. We had some from in England. We had some from the 14th DLI. We had some from... We had some from the... I think we had some from the 70th Young Soldiers Battalion. Whilst we were in England, this is... But we had some from various places. We had some from the York and Lancs. All different regiments we had.
Some of the other veterans have talked about how they were called up and went straight to the 16th Battalion and were actually trained with the 16th Battalion. Do you have any memories of that? Men that were just went in as raw recruits down to Folkestone.
You mean?
Rather than being trained, basic training at Bransworth, they were sent straight to the 16th Battalion and did their basic training with the 16th Battalion.
They'd already done their basic training.
No, they did it all. They were called up and went straight. Oh, what if you can't remember that? Right. So, While you were at Rye, any other memories of exercises that we've talked about? The big exercise, and apparently there was big exercises with the Canadians as well.
You're probably right. You'll probably be right.
They've just all merged into one, have they? Yeah. So after this, after Rye, what happened then?
Well, I'll say there was a great deal happened at Rye. I mean, there was more happened in Rye, in the battalion, than there was anywhere before, because you see, we were then right on the almost the last stage.
Was that a common feeling in the battalion? You all suspected you were going to be sent abroad.
Oh yeah.
And what were people's hopes and expectations? I mean, did you hope you were going to be sent to a specific theatre, or
I don't know.
Did you have any preference to, you know?
I suppose really the majority of them would have thought that it would be the Middle East, the LGS as against the Far East, you know. That's what I should think, anyway. That's what most people would have.
And did the El Alamein battle have any impact, the success of the El Alamein battle? Did that filter through?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, was that a morale boost?
It was really, yeah. It was really, because we were, you see, we weren't all that, you know, we finished in North Africa and we got up to Bizerta and we knew what we were training for. We knew that it was something to do with a landing because we were using landing craft. So it was pretty obvious. It became pretty obvious then, you know, where we were going.
Oh, this is moving forward to Italy.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying that that's it. You can see now that we were sort of following on from Alamein, you see. We were thinking, like, Alamein, what had happened there, and what had happened with the 8th Army, and where the 8th Army were now, and that sort of gave us an insight as to where we were going.
So you felt it would be the Middle East or the North African theatre?
Yeah.
So what happened after Rye?
Well, then we went to... Camberley in Surrey. We went to Camberley in Surrey. We had our embarkation leave from Camberley. I think they gave us 4 days.
Where did you go? Where did you go to go back home?
Oh yeah, we went back, yeah, we kind of go this thing. Oh yeah, that was it. So we had to take advantage of it. So we only got 4 days anyway, I'm pretty sure of that. We were in sort of civilian type. It's only just old houses and things like that. I mean, nothing very good, nothing very organised. We knew that when we left Camberley, we would, you know, we'd be making our way to Liverpool. So we didn't know it was going to be Liverpool, but we guessed it would be Liverpool.
And were you still with our company at this stage? So, apparently at Camberley you were inspected by the King. Can you remember anything about that?
The King?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I believe there was. Yeah, I'm not so sure that... I remember something about that.
But only a vague memory.
Yeah, I think I'm not so sure that I may not have been there on that particular time. I mean, I was there, but I mean, you know, I may have gone when I went home. I do remember that, actually.
So, you were preparing to go abroad. What did those preparations mean? In your job, in what you were doing?
In what I was doing, well, I mean, that was more or less the end of the line for me, because I knew that in any time at all, I would have to sort of return to duty, as you might say. But I wasn't too unhappy about that. I felt confident enough about it, you know. I didn't worry too much about that.
But in terms of the specific duties within, you know, within the company, what did you have to do as you prepared to go abroad? What kind of work?
The only thing there was I think I could more or less say that. Once we made the move from Rye, that job at company headquarters was virtually finished. It was only for as long as ever we were in England that from that point on, they knew everything had gone through, all the documentation had been done, the waterproofing had been done, everything had been done, and it was just a case of them having to hope for the best, really. I knew that sooner or later I would have to, be joined under the rifle companies.
So you felt that was the next move for you?
Oh, I knew that would be the next move, yeah. But of course I didn't know too much about the personnel in the companies. I knew some of them, of course, but I was kind of across them from time to time, but you see you're dealing with the same people, and as far as I was concerned, I was dealing with the same people all the time. And that was quite a big company, with headquarters, put the support people together with it, and it was quite a big thing, you know.
So where did you move to?
I went in, and first move I was put in C Company in North Africa.
Oh, so that was after when you actually got abroad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll stick to where we are.
On the troop trip, I'll remain with our company, we kept together, more or less.
So you were at Camberley, and then you had to get to Liverpool. Do you remember anything about that move?
Not a great deal. I'm just trying to think how we got there. It seems to me that it must have been a job for the train, I should imagine. I can't imagine it would have been by Roderick.
And so what happened at Liverpool?
Well, we just got to the... We were just sort of taken to... If it was the train, we were more or less taken straight to the boat.
No,
I remember it.
And what was the boat?
I don't know. Perhaps Charlie might know.
What kind of ship was it then?
Hmm?
What kind of ship was it?
Was it a troop ship?
Was it a big?
Oh, a big one, yeah. Oh, yeah. But all the troop ships were the same then.
And what was your accommodation like?
Well, that was mainly hammocks. For the likes of us, it was hammocks. That was on the mess deck. On all the mess decks. Sergeants and officers, warrant officers, they shared cabins, more or less.
So their accommodation was better, you think?
Was what?
Was better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we only had a hammock, you know. Nobody used to get cold at night, that's for sure.
So how many would you be, you'd be arranged in companies, would it be a company to a specific mess deck or?
Near enough. Mind you, a mess deck is quite big, it would take more than one company. So you'd probably be a mixture. I'm not saying it would all be the same company. You would very likely have some of another company as well.
So can you remember who you were with then at this stage? Any people that were next to you on the ship?
No, I can't really.
And so you got on the ship. What day was that? What day? Because apparently it sailed on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, yeah. It must have been. It must have been the day before or something like that when we got there. I can't really. put a date on that, but it must have been, it wouldn't have been any sooner than that, because I wouldn't have had the, I wouldn't have had the biggest convoy, so I mean, but I wouldn't have had them standing around too long.
So what do you remember about the day you sailed?
Well, I don't know. I think by that time, everybody was hoping that, well, most people were hoping that, well, maybe we were kidding ourselves about the Ace Army success, but I mean, there was nothing really to...
You were hoping it might be over by the time you got there.
Yeah, but we knew, and really, if you thought about it, you know, it was only a stepping stone, really, wasn't it?
So did you assume that you were going to North Africa, or had anybody told you that you were going to North Africa?
No, I can't remember anybody actually saying, really, but I think we more or less knew.
So what about the day you sailed? I think we've talked off the tip about Jimmy James and having a big win at cards.
Oh yeah, yeah, but that was, we hadn't even got into, we were still in Mersey, you know, and then we were still in Liverpool then. Well, we weren't in Liverpool, making our way out of Liverpool. We were sailing down to Mersey, because we could still see the Liverpool behind us, you know.
And you were all up on deck at this stage?
We were up on deck, well, most of them up on deck. Yeah. Of course, you see, by that time, as I say, we'd have these various people. There have been some people gone out, we've lost some personnel, gone on drafts and things like that. And we've had a lot of Class 1s in. And so the platoons and everything were all up to strength. And we had some in reserve as well. So the battalion looked a little bit different in that stage to what it did. Like when we first arrived in Rye, for instance, because a lot of people arrived when we were in Rye.
Had the new men blended in well, do you think?
Yeah, they did do. Yeah.
And where were these men from? Were they predominantly Northerners or?
Well, they started to come from, as I said, we had some from the 14th Battalion, we had quite a big draft from the 14th Battalion. We had, of course, they were all sent to various companies. They were all dispersed around to the companies, all the companies.
But they were still basically DLI men.
Oh yeah. But they'd all been transferred in, and they came in and posted in. I mean, for instance, when Styler went. We then didn't have an RQMS, and they got one straight away. They got one from then. Larry Gaines came from the 2nd Battalion, and he was posted straight to headquarters company RQMS. And another bloke who came then was a bloke in the orderly room. Now, I think his name was Knights. But he came from the Bounsworth, I think. They needed what they called an orderly room quartermaster sergeant, so he was a warrant officer. Now, prior to Knights coming, Knights came at the same time as Larry Gaines, but he came from a different place. But prior to Knights coming, we had Sergeant Cave. He was your orderly. Cheerio, boy. We had Sergeant Cave. Buddy Wakefield. Ian Neal. There were three in the orderly room. This is at Thetford. Up until the time when Knights came, and he came, and he went in his orderly room, quartermaster sergeant, and he was posted in from So far as I remember, he came from Vanspitz.